This is Erie Street, a podcast by Matriarch at Queensland Theatre. Prepare yourself for a series of uniquely Australian horror stories, told by young writers from across Queensland. All of the stories you'll hear are based on real locations. Old hospitals, industrial beaches, and abandoned bowling alleys are just some of the places we'll be visiting. So strap in, and welcome to Erie Street. This is episode one. In this episode, you'll be hearing from Lara Beattie from the Sunshine Coast and Grace Wilson from Barreen in North Queensland. Now sit tight and enjoy.
The feel of rough cotton scraped along Sam's fingertips as he fidgeted with the bottom of his unwashed shirt. His anxiety almost took hold of him, clawing at his neck, trying to compress him into a ball and hold him there indefinitely. But he continued shuffling towards the old, crumbling building. A giant weathered bowling pin perched precariously on top. Sam imagined it toppling over and crushing him. He tried to remember why he was here, but he couldn't. His memory felt like it had been concealed by a dark fog, covering the truth. Still, an unknown force and will pushed him towards the front door. He tried jiggling the handle. Not to his surprise, it was locked. Walking along the outskirts of the building, Sam traced his hand along the cracks in the wall, like painting a picture. After a minute, he found a small hole in the side, barely big enough to fit a person. Taking a deep breath, he swung himself forward using a beam from the exposed foundation of the building. On his way in, a jagged piece of plastic grabbed at his shirt, etching a cut that Sam could feel dampening with blood. He landed on the creaking wooden floor, legs shaking from the sudden jolt of the impact. He looked around to find his bearings, but the inside of the bowling alley was completely dark and completely quiet. No light from the previously translucent door. No midday sunlight from the hole he had entered through. No hole at all. It had completely disappeared, sealing itself up, concealing Sam from the outside world like the thoughts in his mind. Shattering the silence, a chaotic symphony of violins, drums, and triangles. A singular, pale blue arcade machine screen lit up, illuminating a small circle around it. A pixelated red bowling ball floated in the void of the screen. Sam tried to calm himself down and regain a pattern in his breathing, but he could hear a faint noise ringing in his ears. Inhale, tick. Exhale, talk. Trying to ignore it, he decided to wander around in the dark to find another way out. His heart weighed him down like a bowling ball in his chest. Squinting, he noticed the vague silhouette of the lanes across the room. Again, that strange force seemed to manipulate his will and ability to think rationally, and he found himself marching towards the shape. Retro video game music echoed along the walls, bouncing like laughter. An exaggerated, animated voice was thrown into the din. It kept repeating the words, "Strike! Strike! Strike!" with the sound of bowling pins being knocked over. The volume increased, adding more and more layers of noise, until it was too much for Sam. His bowling ball heart, cold anxiety, and the unknown force finally all caved in as he fell to the floor in a crumpled heap. Sam could hear his eyelashes twitching. His mouth tasted like he had been grinding rocks with his teeth. He slowly opened his eyes, struggling to break the crusty layer of dried tears that had almost glued them shut. A beam of bright light shone directly into his eye, and a pounding headache immediately split his head in two. Sam could barely see, but he could just make out the figure of a bowling lane spread out in front of him. He was lying on the cold ground on the opposite end to the pin deck. He tried to move his arms, but found that they were stuck to his side. The cut on his back throbbed with pain, restricting him from breathing. He tried, but it was replaced by the overwhelming ticking noise. Almost instantly, the powerful force launched Sam towards the end of the lane in a backward somersault. There was no hope left for a scream to escape his tightened throat. With a thud, he smacked into the end wall. A groan of machinery and cogs began, and through the bloody tears in his eyes, Sam could see the pin setter slowly lowering towards him. But he couldn't move. His headache had completely blinded him. Blood on his back pooled around him. The last thing he heard was a deformed noise, almost like a laugh, before it happened. Blood splattered everywhere, staining the polished wooden ground crimson. Sam's severed head rolled into the pit and landed with a noise somewhere between a thud and a splat, taking its place among a sea of other victims. The force was not satisfied. Hungered, it began searching for its next victim. Strike.
June was when it happened. June, when everything was starting to get a little darker, a little colder, when the change of season finally hit and the swimming pool caused hesitation rather than excitement. We were all dressed in black, black swimmers, black caps, black goggles, soldiers going off to war. Well, if you considered the 200 freestyle to be that, us rejects, us losers, we would gaze up in awe. For others, just another ordinary sight. So I would usually just stand there with my cap half covering my bangs and a hand shading my eyes, gazing up. My mother was under the shelter, smoking a cigarette with a copy of To the Lighthouse pressed against the table. She probably would have jumped off the diving board if she was in my position, but my mother was someone else, someone cooler, someone who would skip school and kiss boys and land into the water without even a splash on the pool deck. A few other girls had taken to the stairs, laughing and pushing and running, disobeying every single rule printed on the fence of the stairs. I was a senior. I was 17 and Italian, and sure, my swimsuit didn't fit like theirs, but I wasn't a coward or anything. I could jump if I wanted to. I could have their eyes on me, my mother's gaze on me. Just for a moment, their eyes see me. Leah Condell jumps from new heights. They'd write about me in the school's newsletter. I'd be a celebrity. Well, maybe I was too old for such childish fallacies, such as social eliteness due to whether I jumped off the diving board. But my mother's gaze was on my back, seeming to say, "Darling, aren't those your friends? Are you going to sit around with a bunch of 13-year-olds as all the seniors dive?" So I approached the gate with as much swagger as one possibly can when it felt like you're about to puke your guts up. And they all stared. All of them. I took the steps two at a time, holding the handrail, counting to 27 with each double step. But, I mean, 27 is such a weird number to have a set of stairs reach to. But the ground begins to look far away, Why not round up to 28? The girl at the top. I could see her head poking over the edge, and she was all taunt-faced and long-cheeked, maybe even crying. Maybe they were taunting her. She was all dark-skinned and black-haired, and she looked like me, dressed in black like she was about to attend her own funeral. Her eyes, wide, stared down past me, past the stairs, into the down depths of the June water. I kept climbing, hand tight around the railing, watching this poor girl sob and shake and wobble through the taunts of tight-skinned girls with their stomachs out and blonde hair lit up in dull fluorescence of the overhead streetlights. My mother was watching, smoke pooling around her face, waiting for an opportunity to finally clasp my shoulder, to smile, to say, "Those lessons paid off," for her to take me to ice cream, and for us to just be. At the top, I expected them to stare at me, to acknowledge me with even a nod, just so I could feel like it was all worth it. But they weren't watching me. They had their eyes on the girl on the edge, as if this were some freak show circus, and the girl in the black bikini was the center attention. She was clutching a letter in her palms, praying to her non-existent god. The world around me seemed to lurch, curling over my body like some sort of temple to the house of the lost. I stepped back. 26, 25, 24. She dived, and the whole world watched on.
Thank you for listening to Eerie Street. Tune in this Wednesday to catch conversations with the writers about their stories, what inspires them and what terrifies them. More stories will be released next week, so until then, stay eerie. We live, work, create and play and perform on Aboriginal land. In all things, Matriarch and Queensland Theatre acknowledge Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples and pay respects to elders past and present. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land.